Good morning. Welcome to today's podcast of Why Is This Happening? We're probably going to go in a different route. So we're going to look into this episode being more into like mental health. So, you know, just stay tuned. Proverbs. Oh my God. All right. Proverbs 12:25 says that anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Hi, welcome to today. So sorry about a little tidbit. Literally just woke up a little bit ago. So I woke up a little bit ago and had this idea for the podcast talking about men's mental health. And I was like, you know what? So, because it's so fresh in my mind and I know what I want to say, I figure I'd start the episode. And it's probably going to take me a little bit to finish taping it, but it is currently Tuesday, January 28th at 9:14 a.m. Just so people understand, like, you know, these episodes aren't happening the day of. They're not even really pre-planned. Like, it's just when the idea of the episode comes into my mind, I'm just like, perfect, let me run with it. So after last night and, you know, with February 2nd or February coming up with, you know, mental health awareness, I just thought that we would talk about what no one wants to talk about, and it is men's mental health and the critical roles that, you know, go unforeseen with it. Like, I'm sure everyone at some point has read the Bible. You know, we can look at certain men in the Bible being your stereotypical macho man, like, you know, even everyday humans, us as humans, look to society and look to what men are supposed to be as a certain demographic or stereotype, like, oh, you know, rough and rugged, like, he's got it put together, successful people. Like, everyone believes that men are who Hollywood portrays them to be. And in reality, there's more going on off camera than you guys would even realize. And that's what I'm going to try to talk a little bit about today. And, you know, it's getting me a little bit emotional because I've had my own bouts with mental health where it was hard to open up and talk to people. It's just, you know, as men, like I said, we're given this label. And we're made to believe at a very young age that if you do this a certain way and you do this a certain way, people are going to respect you. Like, you know, men don't cry. Men hide their feelings. When in certain situations, yes, it's all true. Yes, it does, you know, play a pivotal role in society. But to be honest, it is probably one of the most, like, negative things to ever happen. And it never was like that. You know, we look at biblical stories as far as, like, you know, some great men in the Bible. We look at David. We look at Jonah and Elijah. Like, some of these were great men. Elijah led a huge group of warriors. And, you know, obviously David and Goliath. I mean, come on. But as they get older and everything, it's not talked about a lot that these men all had something in common. And I'm sure at this point, you guys, the listeners, can guess what that wording. I don't know why it keeps doing that. So, just going on, you know, talking about David, we talked briefly just about Jonah. I'll probably retouch on Jonah. But, you know, even throughout David's journey, we get glimpses into his mental state. And many of his psalms paint the picture of a man struggling with feelings of depression and hopelessness, which people never understood. He writes, "I am worn out from my groaning." Psalm 6:6. "All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears." A lot of his psalms are, you know, follow a similar pattern, where he's expressing raw emotion, he's got a complaint, he's got a request, and then overall, an expression of praise or trust in God. So, we go and look at Psalms 13, for example, which starts with David saying, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart?" And that's Psalms 13, verses 1 and 2. Man. After pouring out his feelings and making a request to God, David ends these lines, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Psalms 13, 5, 6. But, like, you know, it's just, it is in the Bible that people have struggled with mental health, especially men. So to any man listening out there, to all the men listening out there, you're not alone, brother. You're not alone. Men have been suffering with depression just as much as women have. Men just don't talk about it because society led us to believe that we weren't able to talk about it. We weren't allowed to talk about it without a classification of being called a name, you know, a wuss, a sis, a pansy, you know, sensitive, like. They have such derogatory and negative meaning to them. And what man wants to feel belittled for opening up about how he feels mentally and emotionally. I know for sure I don't. And I had to deal with that for years in my relationship. I thought I could entrust with my wife how I felt. Little did I know she was recording the conversations and sharing them with other people and then texting and laughing about it. But I was opening up to her because she told me I could. Like, this is the society we live in where people want men to open up and then they become uncomfortable after doing so because they find stuff like that out. After that, I started closing up. Like, I just couldn't open up anymore. I started looking at trying to drink, doing other things like, oh, you know, maybe if I just keep working and working and working and working enough, like, you know, maybe that's why I'm depressed, because I just need to keep working. You know, let me drown my sorrows and pains into work, into, you know, doing this and doing that and going here and going there, like trying to avoid every situation possible. Because I just didn't want to come to the conclusion or the simple fact that someone was going to label me and I didn't want to be labeled. So after all that had happened, you know, with her, like I said, I shut down. I was like, you know, this isn't fair. It started crippling me. I started becoming more and more distant, like in our relationship, just not talking as much, very little interaction. But I mean, it got dark at times where I did ask God, you know, to take my life. Like, I prayed that my life needed to end. Like, I was so depressed and I didn't feel I had anyone. But when you go to start reaching out and talking to people, that's when you realize, you know, you're not alone. Like, you are in that same boat with someone else. You just don't know it. We're all essentially on a cruise. Like, if you look at it that way. So we're all just on a big cruise ship. And you can do one of two options. You can stay in your room and seclude yourself from the activities, or engage in with everyone and get to, you know, see how everyone is, because you never know who is going through what you're going through or has been through what you've been through. And until we can open up about that, we're just always going to be stuck in that pivotal role that society wants us to be in. And it's just, for me, it's like bonkers just thinking about it. Like, it's more or less on the true side of, you know, the story. But events and details and stuff like that are going to be a little, you know, off cue. But during our deployment, like, we had a person in you know, a senior position who had made a comment that essentially felt like it pertained to people utilizing behavioral health and talking to, you know, the therapist that we had on ground at the time. And it was just so bizarre, like actually hearing someone say that people couldn't do their jobs because they were utilizing behavioral health. Like, but it's not true. Like, anyone utilizes it for a plethora of reasons. That's probably going to be the only time I ever use that word. Sorry, the train's got to come back to the station. Where's my notes? I'm sorry, I'm like... So, yeah. But there were people going through a lot of different things. And it wasn't just because the job itself was too hard. There were things going on back at home that they didn't feel comfortable talking about because it involved them getting emotional and, you know, how it goes. Like, if a woman talks about her feelings, she's overly sensitive. If a male talks about his feelings, he's a pussy. So, you know, it's just how it gets looked at. And I don't believe in either side of it. Like, there are times where in my personal experience, I have dealt with what could be construed or looked at as an overly emotionally stimulated situation. Now, I'm not saying the situation caused for an emotional overreaction. I'm saying it was overly stimulated emotionally on one party's side. Now, I don't really judge people for that. Like, you know, if that's how you get your point across, if that's how you really feel, okay, awesome, you know, good for you. I'm not going to be about that. So that's why I'm kind of just saying it like that. Like, I'm not judging the person, even though I was in a relationship with them. And every conversation that didn't go their way ended up becoming an overly stimulated emotional conversation to the point where I would just throw my hands up. I just couldn't deal with it mentally anymore. Oh, God. But what am I saying? But yeah, I mean, for the most part, you just never know what someone's going through in those times of situations, especially like when we're on deployment. A lot of the people there was like their first times being deployed, and the ones whose first time it wasn't didn't actually see combat, so that was their first combat deployment. So there was a very small fraction of people who actually had combat deployments. But anyway, before the train leaves the station without the passengers, I just want to stay on track with this. But yeah, going into talking about mental health and how the world views us, it's just, it's kind of saddening. Like, people don't understand that, you know, it's important whether or not you see it, whether or not it's a nuisance or you don't feel like it. It's always important just to check on your buddies once in a while. And I try to encourage that with everyone. So, like, I actually reached out last night and talked to someone I hadn't talked to in a year, and we hadn't talked for multiple reasons. One being I was deployed. So it did make it a little difficult, but him and I kind of almost, I don't want to say had a falling out, but things happened in my life that he wasn't too sure of. And to err on precaution, we kind of just stopped talking. But I know he goes through a lot, and I definitely go through a lot. And a lot of times we can talk with each other about it. And it's just one of those things that I try to encourage everyone. And I used to try to encourage my ex-wife, but that's a whole nother story. And I don't want to get into that right now because that's definitely going to be stuff for a whole nother episode, probably a whole nother series. But I'm just trying to use this to just, talk about things in life with people that people don't generally want to talk about. And like I said, because we're coming up into Mental Health Awareness Month, I wanted to do this episode specifically for that reason. But I feel like I'm taking too much time away from everyone with what they're doing. But my point and premise is this, that you're not weak because you need to seek mental health. Like you're not. You're not at all. It takes a strong person to sit there and say, "Hey, I need a hug. Hey, I feel a certain way and don't know how to react." Just take the time, reach out to your friend. I don't care if it's been years since you've talked. Check in on people, check in on your family, check in on your friends. Say, "Hey, you want to get together?" And get together. Ask them on a deep level, "How have you really been?" That's what we need to start asking. How have you really been? And you'll be amazed by the responses from people. Like, and a lot of times, all it takes is a hug. A hug heals. A hug heals the most broken. Kind words. Kind words. That's all we need to do is just be kind to one another. And oh, now I'm getting like teary. I'm getting hard to see my notes. So pretty much I just want to like sum up, what I've been talking about by taking a look. By taking the time and looking at some of the Bible characters who struggle with their mental health, we can all be encouraged to know that we're not alone. Countless men and women of faith who have gone before us have wrestled with the same things we do today. And that's all it is. Like, never be afraid to reach out. Like, I'm gonna try to upload my email, and my phone number in here, as well as like maybe a resource or two for mental health. If you're struggling or you know someone struggling or they seem a little bit off, just reach out to them. It's the least we can do. Like, they may not know that they need the help in at that time. But if you start seeing their behavior declining and the little things they used to find interest in, they're no longer finding interest in, definitely reach out to them and talk to them. Fucking God. Why am I... I'm going to have to end the episode here.